Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead. Amen. Were there not 10 cleansed? Yes, 10. All 10 had heard of Jesus and heard of his many healings. All 10 saw him coming down that road on his way to the Jerusalem cross. And all 10 did what they would normally do when someone comes down the road. They would call out from afar to these passerbys for help. They hoped that Jesus, whom they had heard of, would make them well, as if he were some sort of Old Testament prophet. But Jesus does more. Jesus does more because he himself is the New Testament, and it is by his faithfulness on the Jerusalem cross that the sick are saved. This scripture is profitable for our instruction, for we see where the seat of our salvation is: Christ's faithful work in Jerusalem. And this scripture is profitable also for our instruction in growth in righteousness, because it tells us how Christians should live. Christians who continue on receiving Christ's cleansing absolution. Were there not 10 cleansed? All 10 of the leprous men call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," which sounds awfully similar to the Kyrie which you just sung of our liturgy. The old Mosaic law forbade these lepers from going to the place of God's holiness, the Jerusalem temple. It's where God's presence is, unless they were first pronounced clean by the priests. The lepers are unwell and are in need of a cleansing save. They are in need of salvation. Jesus simply responds, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." The lepers did what Jesus told them to do. And as they went, they were cleansed, even before they presented themselves to the priest at the temple. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. The Samaritan showed a repentance and a trust, for in giving glory to God, he gave a fitting liturgical response to the words of Jesus. He bowed in worship. All 10 received the cleansing. All 10. Yet what did the 9 miss? They missed the change-up from Jesus. They were still looking for the ceremonial demands of the old Mosaic covenant, despite having been cleansed by the new temple. The Samaritan, though, realized something was different. All 10 sang the Kyrie eleison, or something very similar to it. All 10 received the absolution, the cleansing of Jesus, yet only one recognized God's presence no longer dwelt in the Jerusalem temple, but was indeed right there in front of them. Only one recognized the new kind of response of the New Testament. We hear today two kinds of responses to the work of Jesus. The first response of the 9 is a response to Christ's New Testament gifts, but in a manner expecting the old covenant, as if we must fulfill the requirements of the law in order to receive God's approval and his presence. The second response of the Samaritan is a response to the New Testament gifts that expect more of the gifts: love, joy, peace, faithfulness. The ceremonial demand for faithful temple worship is fulfilled in Christ's going faithfully to Jerusalem. Jesus had replaced the Jerusalem temple, and his death on the cross would become the ultimate faithfulness for both Israel and for Samaria, for Galilee and the entire world. Fulfillment of the law for fulfillment's sake is not required for the sinner to be in God's faithful presence. And these two kinds of responses are still trouble for Christians today. 10 out of 10 pray the Kyrie in the divine service, you just did. And 10 out of 10 will attempt to do good works. But how many are trying to fulfill the works of the law? St. Paul commends us, walk by the Spirit, be not under the law. Do we miss the point? And do we still attempt to live under the law? Do we go home from this worship service trying to do the right thing for the wrong reason, under the old covenant? Is it up to us to procure our own faith that saves us? The 9 lepers didn't recognize what had happened, and they continued trying to grow their own faith alone by works of the law. It's easy to recognize that we ought to avoid the evident works of the flesh: sexual immorality, outbursts of wrath, rivalries. It is another thing entirely to recognize that this New Testament freedom is given to us and for us to live accordingly. To say that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, is not to say that you are under the law and must do these things for salvation. No. Against such good fruit, there is no law. It is not merely fitting for yourself to tell yourself, be peaceful, be joyful. St. Paul tells us, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Christ's cleansing blood has cleansed you, and you are free. So what else could a Christian do but respond with peace, joy, and self-control? The law is against a lack of self-control, but a Christian's natural response to Christ's cleansing blood is knee-jerk. It is visceral, guttural. It is unintentional. It is a response of good works that knows nothing else but the fruit that Christ gave us to respond with these fruits of the Spirit. And that is what Jesus says when he commends this Samaritan. Not that the Samaritan kept the laws and the others didn't. They all 10, heard what Jesus said, and all 10 headed to the temple. Instead, he commends his Samaritan for a healthy response to the gospel and for his seeking to give glory to God where God is, which was Jesus standing right there. Your faith has saved you. Jesus gives him Jesus's own faithfulness, and that is the thing which saves him. Some translate this verse as your faith has made you well, and rightly so. In a sense, the faithfulness of Jesus makes this Samaritan well, because the man is now in a position to flourish in love, joy, peace, with gentleness and self-control. Jesus' faith has saved him, made him well, and now he flourishes. And it is no different for you and for me. We attend the divine service. We pray the Kyrie. We receive the preached word of absolution. We are cleansed. And we flourish. For how can we help but to respond to this fruit from Christ's tree except with good works. The faithfulness of Jesus, which led him to embark on the way to Jerusalem between Samaria and Galilee, that's what makes us well. That is the faithfulness which saves you. It is by Christ's good works of crucified flesh that you are saved. For the works of the flesh are evident in rivalries and things like these, but our faithful Jesus did not gratify the desires of the flesh. He walks in the way of wisdom, and he continues to have mercy on you, giving you the cleansing forgiveness of his crucifixion in holy baptism, which now saves you from your works of your flesh. And at the end to this little liturgical service, Jesus gives the benediction to the Samaritan, and he does the same for you here today. You have prayed the Kyrie, you have worshiped him, you see his flesh, and you will arise with him in the resurrection. It is the Lord's blessing, the benediction. Arise and go your way. Your Jesus has saved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.